This is Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hanat Baba. In February, an unusual cultural mashup went down at the YMCA in San Francisco's Bayview Hunters Point neighborhood.
Hello, everybody! Happy New Year! Happy Black History!
The event's menu was also an unconventional mix, offering both cornbread and bok choy. And for entertainment, African dance. And lion dance. Depending on who you ask, this kind of side-by-side harmony hasn't always been the case in the Bayview, a place with its share of tensions in the past few years, especially between the Black and Asian communities. But Bayview organizations are hoping to bring the community together with events like these. And one of their tactics? A new group called the Bayview Youth Advocates. KLW's Liz Mack has the story.
Yeah, come in, take a seat.
20 teenagers are settling into a classroom at this year's Bayview Youth Summit. After a few minutes, they're quiet, eyes focused on someone their own age who's leading this race and racism workshop.
This is like an example of how African Americans are portrayed in media, even to like in Disney.
So that's right, Disney. They're watching a clip of Dumbo projected on the whiteboard.
Did you ever see an elephant fly? Well, I seen a horse fly. Ah, I seen a dragon fly.
It's an exercise to get these teenagers to talk about racial stereotypes. In the clip, the crows are Black. They're portrayed as lazy and uneducated. And one of the crows is named Jim, as in Jim Crow. This is part of the Bayview Youth Advocates curriculum. The goal is to groom the neighborhood's future leaders by teaching young people about the area's cultural history. The hope is they'll pass on those lessons and feel a sense of ownership over where they live. Today, the teen leaders are talking about some hard but important topics. There's a recent history of racial tensions in the area.
I am Hui Lan Chang. I was the woman who was thrown off the platform of the third line, T line.
This is a recording from a San Francisco Board of Supervisors meeting in 2010. The woman you hear speaking, whose words are being translated from Chinese, she was thrown off a muni platform in the Bayview by a handful of Black teenagers.
I came to the U.S. because I really hoped that I could be able to have a good life and achieve the American dream to be able to live in peace.
Two more attacks repeating that racial dynamic occurred. The tension was amplified. Many of the Asian community felt like they were being targeted. And a lot of the Black community felt like they were being blamed for the actions of a few kids.
They look at the facts just on the surface, you know, it's the Blacks attacking the Asians.
That's Eddie Zhang. He works with the Asian community in the Bayview and came up with the idea for the Bayview Youth Advocates. He says back in 2010, he heard comments like,
why is this Black people attacking us? You know, why did they take advantage of us? We don't have money either. We are poor also.
The rift wasn't lost on the Black community either.
I remember my mom saying to me, you know, when I get on the buses, there's so much tension where you see people sitting in the front, people sitting in the back. The division was really clear.
That's Gina Frommer, the former executive director at the Bayview Hunters Point YMCA. She's African-American and was born and raised in the Bayview herself. And just like Zhang, she says this racial tension came from misunderstandings on both sides. She ticks off some of the stereotypes she heard about the Asian community back then.
They're takers. They don't shop there. They might go, they'd leave the community to go shop other places.
Meanwhile, Zhang says he was hearing stereotypes from some Asians directed at the Black community.
They don't go get a job. They don't work. You know, they're lazy. Why don't they just go to school?
I think some of the perceptions were that the Chinese community, they didn't speak to African Americans.
They created like, oh, your suffering and my suffering, you know, just going back and forth regarding that and not really talking about solutions.
Frommer and Zhang, both community organizers, said that neither of the groups really knew each other. And they didn't understand that there were larger forces at play. Language barriers, for one, and poverty. In 2011, about 20% of the neighborhood lived under the poverty level. The area has its challenges, but Zhang says it's important to instill community pride in these kids.
It's a ripple effect, right? So when you empower the young people, when they start taking ownership of their community, then they will want to change the community.
Which is how a group of kids came to be playing a social justice game in another Youth Summit classroom. John Vuong is a high school senior leading this workshop.
Race is definitely a really big thing, I feel like, not only just in our school. I feel like outside of the classroom, it's kind of segregated. People hang out with their own kind. And I felt like it's just, they do that because they're more comfortable with the people around them.
Oh, three.
He and the other youth advocates have been working on the summit for months. The idea being, if young people teach other young people about the issues in their community, it can have a deeper impact.
Hello, guys. How are you guys doing today?
Good.
These are some group agreements I'll read out to you guys. Respect each other and yourself. Be positive and encouraging. Step up, step back. Be supportive of each other.
John and a fellow youth advocate, Brian Britt, are leading a workshop about the school-to-prison pipeline.
Yeah. And we're just saying these group agreements because, like, at the end, we're going to have, like, a bunch of, like, serious conversations about these topics, and it might be, like, shocking. Remember to, like, respect each other's opinions and stuff like that.
This is all a part of the group's larger goals, to increase empathy among people of all kinds for people who are different than them. John says these workshops can be a way for other teenagers to address big issues about the neighborhood that they don't normally get a chance to.
So school-to-prison pipeline, then. So this one, yeah.
This one?
Perfect, yeah.
This workshop is called the school-to-prison pipeline because it addresses the fact that certain people, people of color, are set up by the system and at higher risk of going to prison. I ask senior Abdul Benturkia why he came.
You could see, like, I think I'm pretty sure that 50% of people here, like, they're family members are in jail or something. I just want to learn more about it because you don't get to see it outside, you know, because people are afraid to talk about it, but here it's like it's all out, you know, it's all in the open.
Brian and John, who are teaching the workshop, are Asian, and they're teaching a group of largely black and brown high schoolers about a system that disproportionately affects kids like them. So in this kind of scenario, how did these teenagers actually teach other teenagers about things as tricky as race? Because the school-to-prison pipeline is a pretty big concept, Brian and John set up a game to illustrate it.
On each table, there's a scenario, if you look. So it'll go from 6th grade to 7th grade to 8th grade. To
At each table, there's a sheet of paper, one for each grade, from 6th to 12th, with a different scenario. You roll a dice, and the number determines your fate.
You went camping last weekend and forgot that your pocket knife was still in your backpack. Roll one or two and nobody notices. You take it out when you get home from school. Proceed to next grade.
Roll three or four and your bag got searched during a routine bag check. You tell the truth, the school officials believe you, but you still get suspended.
Roll five or six and there was a routine check back. You tell your story, but there was zero tolerance policy. Proceed to juvie.
That's juvenile hall.
All right, go again. Go again.
Back to juvie. Midway through the game, Brian asks me how it's going.
I mean, how do you feel about this, like, this game so far?
It's pretty bleak.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's actually pretty much the point of the game, actually, to show, like, some students actually go through some of this stuff, like, going to juvie, like, three or four times, getting suspended multiple times just for, like, simple acts. So, I mean, this is a reality for some people, and we just want to, like, show them, like, it's frustrating, but there are ways out of this situation.
All right, guys, I mean, overall, how that felt? All right, we'll start over here.
I feel that, like, all this is real, like, this happened to real people, and, like, I try the best that it won't happen to me.
The game was cool, but it got me a little irritated because it made me think, like, does this really happen to, like, people, like, younger than us? And, like, what if they don't go to college at all because of that?
The teens may have started the morning sleepy, but by the time this exercise is over, their eyes are wide open.
Was there anything in particular you wanted people to leave the workshop with?
Honestly, just keeping an open mind and being more informed about it. And the most important thing is just to share this knowledge of what you have.
And that's the whole point. Youth Advocates teaches teens like Brian and John that their best asset is what they have to say. And they're using that to give others a chance to have their say too. For Cross Currents, I'm Liz Mack.